just for fun. Okay, we are on chapter 2, verse 12 of 1 Peter. I remind you that this is our last week. Next week we will have our little end of the year party. I don't know if it's just me, but this seems to go faster every year. Seems like we just started up again after Christmas last week. But anyway, verse 12. Peter writes to the church in general, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Well, Peter's a Jew. So Gentiles, he is mostly talking about non-Christians here. So that the thing which they slander you, which would be, of course, most prominently the Romans. And also, see, most of you know this, that the Greek culture never really left. That's why when Scripture, when Paul writes, he always uses the term Greek, which has to do with the philosophy of life. The Greek philosophy is dominant outside of the church, and it also has great impact inside of the church, how to view life. But politically, it's Roman. So politically, it's Roman. Philosophically, it's Greek. And there's still some conflict between those two things. But when he says Gentiles, he's talking about either one of those things, the political or the philosophical way of doing things. People that aren't Christians, or even people who aren't Jews, because they get approached a sort of a different way, because they have a base understanding of, you know, we all have the same foundation of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, you know, all that, David. But the Gentiles have no idea who Christians are or what they're doing or why they're doing it. So what he's saying is, you know, make the choice. Go out of your way to act even better among the heathens. As you go out into that world, and, you know, I don't have to tell anybody here, you know, you've been there. It's how you act there really, really matters. It matters more than it probably does in church. I mean, we always go out of our way to act better at church so that people would think we're churchy. But the truth of the matter is we should strive to do that out there. And, you know, with what I've done before, that was always a struggle. It was always, you know, it really, really mattered how I acted as a police officer. It really did. Not so much what I did, but how I did it. And it says, so that, and the things in which they slander you as evildoers. See, he doesn't even give the option of you not being slandered as an evildoer. He says, so that when they do, they will try to find something wrong with you. They honestly will. They need to. Because then that means that they're not wrong. They could live the way they want to live. Your life doesn't convict them of anything because you're just a nut. You're an evildoer. You're this, you're that. They're going to do that once they realize that you rely on the Lord. Yes, it's exactly right. They're looking for a reason for you not to matter. And what you have to say and the truth that you're speaking to be disregarded. To do that, they simply, you know, what's the old thing? If you can't beat the message, attack the messenger. So they will slander you as an evildoer. In other words, they will question your motives. And to be honest, organized religion doesn't help much. You know, with all the scandals and, you know, sexual scandals and money scandals and, you know, you know, people going on TV and just saying, send me money, and just people abusing it. You have to be able to just live through that quietly. And it says, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, not as you talk about them, but as they see you live, day in, day out, every day, glorify God in the day of visitation. So that in the end, they will thank God for you, that you were there and that you did what you were supposed to do, that you lived the way you were supposed to live. Because what you do and how you act in those situations means so much more. It is your witness. It is the thing that changes everything. That is the light on the hill, your life. There are people who are evangelists whose words are their mission. But honestly, for the rest of us, our life, how we live our life is our mission. And what it's saying is, they need to see it. And he's this is the beginning of telling us something that it's going to be hard. And this is the gospel unvarnished, that living a Christian life is not easy. It is challenging. We in this world, in this country, have gotten very used to not, well, a quote-unquote Christian country. Whereas being a Christian does not get you persecuted, does not, you know, and there's been some pushback because Christians, when they got political power, did things they shouldn't have done. So right now, there's a large group of people who think we are a problem. And maybe we have been. You know, I'm not saying we haven't. I'm saying this overrides all of that. You go live your life to work with your neighbors, with everything else, and live the gospel. And you will change this world over time. And that's basically what this is talking about. It's going to take some time for them to realize it's genuine. And time will show that it's genuine. There are many reasons to walk righteously. Among them is our witness to this world. We're different, and only our righteousness can prove that. It is what proves we love God and our neighbors. The Ten Commandments are divided into laws regarding God and laws regarding other people. Love fulfills them all. There are only two things that the Ten Commandments are directed at: your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. Well, a lot of times for us, we'll take the relationship with God very seriously, and we'll take the part about relationship with other people and just like, they're all a bunch of weenies anyway, so what's it matter? Yeah, it matters. It matters deeply. When you get together with your rowdy friends, what he's saying is the Gentiles, behave yourself, is basically it. Don't be better at being them than they are. Because, you know, what is the time for such things is over. You know, when I was a child, I acted like a child. On Judgment Day, they may glorify God because of your behavior in their presence. It has eternal, how you act has eternal consequences. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. This is a continuation of how to do this. He's still talking about how to live in front of the Gentiles. Whether to a king as to one in authority. But it's saying living in a political world means laws and rules. Glorify God by putting them in their proper perspective. Interact with society properly. There may be things you don't like. There may be... if there are things you have to challenge, challenge them correctly. If there are things that you must argue, argue them correctly. I mean, this is interesting because it is always hard to apply, you know, in the vast history of humankind, this kind of freedom, this kind of democracy is very rare. I mean, when this was written, the choices we have weren't even considerations. But with choices, always remember, comes responsibilities. So think of it as democratic responsibilities. Yes, you have them. You know, whenever I talk about separating the spiritual aspect from the political aspect in church, I'm not saying don't be political by any means. I'm saying don't elevate it to the level of spiritual, other than in your obedience to the law, as far as you can obey it. Titus 3, 1 through 3. Remind them, he's telling Titus to the people in the church, to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Well, that's a tall order. I don't know if you've ever tried to malign no one at work, ever. If you've ever been involved in what we will call the bitch sessions, where we get together and we roast someone just for giggles, you know, this isn't a suggestion. This is how we're supposed to act. Yes, the world's going to do that. They're even going to do it to you. Because if you do it when people aren't there, you can just pretty much assume that they're doing it when you're not there. Don't worry about that. It's just life. It is. It's people being people. But us, it says, ready for every good deed. And then it says, what you can't do while you're being ready for every good deed is you can't be part of that. You can't be part of that culture. Part of the culture of insecurity, where I need to drag somebody else down to make myself feel better. These are not things that glorify the kingdom of heaven. They're not. You need to be... Who should be the most secure people in the world are the humble people who've admitted what's have already admitted what's wrong with them. And if you're humble, and if you've done that, and you've looked it right in the eye, what is the world going to say to you that you haven't already admitted? You know, or what are they going to accuse you of that you haven't looked yourself in the mirror and said, yeah, that's true. That needs to be changed. How can they hurt you if you've already embraced it? What I'm saying is don't be the person who hurts somebody. Don't be the person who does this. And, you know, and I could be pretty good at it. I mean, part of being a police officer was just the fun of this, how we treated each other and this. You might find this hard to believe, but it could be a little harsh. And, you know, and you get to be pretty good at it, and you start to enjoy it, you know. And then it just takes one or two little things where you see that somebody's feelings got hurt that you actually care about, and it's not fun anymore. And I've come to the conclusion if it's not fun for everybody, it's just not fun. And that's a lesson I had to learn, and I learned it, I hope. Malign no one. Be peaceable, gentle. Gentle is a wonderful word, and we're going to talk about it this Sunday. Wow. You know, what a struggle with to be a male in our society and look at the word gentle and to just try to figure that one out. But there is such a power with being gentle. We always associate it with being weak, but no, the truly powerful can be gentle because they have nothing they have to defend. They don't have to. Showing every consideration for all men. So if you can give somebody a break, if you can be kind, do it. You know, go ahead. Why not? For we also once were foolish ourselves. Which is saying if you're doing these things, you're foolish. Disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy. You've got to ask ourselves, are we still spending our lives in malice and envy? I mean, are we still talking about people? Are we still disliking them because of what they have or what they've done? Hating one another. That there, by the way, it should be on every church door. You know, as you walk in, you should read that every time you walk in. Acts 4:18-20, the exception. And there's always an exception. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now remember, we had talked about this was about being respectful to the powers and authorities that are there. The mayor, the president, you know, regardless of what you think. Respect the position. You know, respect the fact that the rest of the country, the majority of this country, well, okay. He got elected. We'll put it that way. And you have to respect that. And it says, this is the other side of that. So basically, the religious leaders summon Peter and John. And they're trying to, they called them in. They find they have nothing to arrest them for or hurt them for, so they make this demand, well, just don't speak about Jesus anymore. And at least they're trying to win something, you know. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. And that's not being smart. That's being, hey, here's my dilemma. God told me to do this. You're telling me to do that. What do you think we should do? Which is the right thing to do? Listen to you. Or listen to God. You tell me. And what are they going to say? They're the religious leaders. You be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. We cannot stop telling the truth. So there does come a time where, of course, there is an exception. And that exception is a very strong one. But in this country, there really isn't any mandate that we stop. This is sort of a strange thing. Let me put it this way. There may be things in politics that you do not agree with. There may be some things politically that you do not agree with strongly, to the point of you believe it's sin. And you are spiritually, not because it's on a political side other than your own, but spiritually you believe it is purely wrong. And then what this is saying is you basically have an obligation then. But what you do is you pay the price for it then. If that means you get imprisoned, if that means you lose this or lose that, then you lose it. And you don't complain about it. You do what you have to do. I find it fascinating, and I am not making a stand here or saying anything about it. I'm just saying I find it fascinating what's going on right now with the abortion issue. It is profound what's going on. The extremes are flexing their muscles. The extreme left up in New York have, you know, abortion up until birth for any reason you want. And then the extreme right, was it Alabama? Yeah. No abortion at all, even rape or incest, which even Pat Robertson, of all the political people, said, well, this ain't the hill you want to die on. But you see this working out in a legal standpoint where what happens is the right wants to get it in front of the Supreme Court. The left just wants it left alone. But the left caused a lot of this happening by New York, and which was a response. See, when all this is going on, and here we are as Christians, living our lives inside of this society, inside of this political system, there may come a point in time, no matter which, and I'm not, you know, whichever way you believe, where you may have to be defiant. Because for a lot of people, this issue is life and death, or freedom and not freedom, whichever way you go. I don't have to tell you which, you know. And you may have to pay a price for what you believe. Do that with dignity, do it with respect, and do it without hatred, without maligning anyone. Speak the truth with love, and that's how you handle it. And that's just one issue, but that's the one that's apparently coming our way. You know, this country has had a hard time to deal with this. And once again, I'm not going to tell you, you're all smart enough, you know, and you all have your own perspective. 14, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Making the assumption that the people in charge are in charge because God put them there or allows them to be there, which I don't know what the real difference between those two things are, because God never ducked his responsibilities. Sometimes we try to make excuses for God for how things are going in the world, and we'll say things like, well, he allowed it, he didn't cause it. What did God say? It's, I kill, I heal, I wound, I make well. You know, you say whatever you want. I'm just telling you what I do. You know, I'm God. It says, for such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, doing right is where we come into a problem. What is right? Well, that's what you're responsible to do. Whatever is, first off, whatever is right by society's means that does not directly confront your spiritual beliefs, that where God says, no, you cannot do that, it doesn't violate the law of God, then you have a responsibility to it. We may silence us by behaving as we behave, doing the best we can to be the best we can, will silence the ignorance of foolish men, because people will attack you. It's been so strange. There were times in my life, especially in the world, you know, living in the world, working in the world, where, and by no means that, wow, by the grace of God, you know, he caused me to grow up, you know, through work and through things like that. But there were times when success, where the Lord blessing me in success, brought issues from other people, envy, whatever. And I didn't want anything they wanted. See, they saw me sometimes as a threat to getting what they wanted politically. which is the strange world we live in, and I didn't want anything. And every time, and it was almost always obvious what they were doing. Everybody saw it. And know this, people that are that way, everybody knows they're that way. So you don't really have to get too excited. People get it. When somebody tries to drag you down who does those sorts of things, everybody else knows that. You know, you're not the first one they've done this to. And what I've learned is, while I could surely handle them, I mean, physically, any way I wanted to, outsmart them, you know, play the political game better than they did. I surely had that ability. There come a point in time where I just refused to do it. And I just, the grace of God just said, you know what, give this to me. You just keep doing what you're doing. But make sure what you're doing is right, because they're watching, you know, and they are watching. And every time I did that and just relaxed, no matter what they were doing or trying to do, it just worked out so well for me. I'm serious. Every time they try to mess with me or do something to me, I came out better. And I just did nothing, you know, other than do my job, be nice to everybody. And it just worked. And I said to myself, wow, I could have handled this. But I am so glad I let God handle this. And even if it didn't work out the way I was, you know, where it was obvious that I got blessed here, so what? I had to learn that. I mean, there were many a times before I made that choice that I did respond by striking back and making them regret ever coming after me. Even if it meant just going to look them in the face, say, you know what? I'm just going to bypass everything. I'm just going to knock you out. I just don't like you. And, you know, it's all that foolishness of men. And it just, I learned that this is right. I learned this works. And I get disappointed at times when I still find myself, when I'm stressed, falling back to what the world taught me. And the Lord always grabs me and says, hey, just like he talks to Israel when he says, hey, remember when I took you out of Egypt? And God grabs me and says, hey, remember when I took care of you when you trusted me? And I have to say, yeah. I've learned a lot and I'm still learning this. But as far as dealing with this world, when you get out there in it, and even in here, but just do what's right and be at peace with it. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to do anything. Just be right. It will show itself.
Sometimes you think
you're right, not really. Amen. You know, isn't that the truth? You know, right. And,
and sometimes there's several different types of right.
Yep. No, this is not easy. But there is the prime right, which you know what it is. When all those other things are going on, and there's that confusion. And trust me, and there was, you know, there was always the thing, well, if I do this, that would help everybody, not just me. And so should I do this? Should I do that? And it was, yes, it was complicated. But deep inside, at the prime level, I know what right and wrong is. And right and wrong comes from the motive of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Or not doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And if as long as it just affected me, then I have the freedom to just let it be.
And the courage to turn it over to God.
Isn't that the truth? And you know where that courage comes from? By seeing him do it before. And that gives you that's how faith is built, by God doing what God does.
And sometimes
we're
still surprised.
Amen. You know, God said, remember, I've done this before. I'll do it again. And then when he does it again, you're surprised. Yeah. Really? Yeah. No, it's the truth, sister. It is. It is a neat journey, and I learned a lot of that journey through interaction, through the world, through work, through just interesting, you know, going, wow, just the things I've learned about me, and yeah. It's vast is the best way I could put it. The way God has taught me, And just about every time I trusted him, wonderful things happened. And every time I didn't, I embarrassed myself. So, yeah. So what he says is, such is the 15, for such is the will of God, by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Yes, God knows they're ignorant and he knows they're foolish. You don't need to point it out to them. Assume it. They don't have the wisdom of the Lord. They're not living their life on the truth. So they're ignorant and they're foolish. So were we. The power of being and doing the right thing for the right reason. In the end, people will be forced to judge you by your actions, not by what their motives would have been for doing what you have done. The people will judge you by what they would have done for the reason they would have done it. That's what we do. It's fascinating to see this. When somebody does something, you'll hear other people say why they did it. And mostly it'll be acting why they would have done it. It says, act as free men, verse 16. And do not act as free men. You already are, but act like what you are. In other words, even if you can't just be what you are, act like it. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. And I've done that. I surely understand that. The Greek, not having your liberty for a veil, a cloak of badness, is what it means. A covering, like something, a hood you would put up so they can't see your face, you know. There are two sides to this. Neither should we follow evil because society or government tells us to. We are free to be right, is the best way to put this. We are free to be right. We are free to love. We are free to care. We are free to be gracious, is what we are free to be. They're not. So should we not do it? Verse 17, honor all people. That's not easy. That is not easy. Honor who they are to God. Honor that they are a creation of the Lord. That's why murder is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. I created them. Who are you to take the end of their life? I gave them life. Honor that. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Here's the steps of life of how to get along in this world, how God wants you to interact with this world. Honor all people. Everyone has extreme value to God. Don't just honor their earthly achievements or positions, but that they are God's personal handiwork and that Jesus Christ died for them. Never allow yourself to forget that. If you ever get a nemesis in life, even for a short period of time, somebody who just seems out to get you, the best thing you could do is pray for them, and pray for them with really meaning it, with all your heart. See them for what God sees, and understand that the reason that they are in your life this way may be just so that you can pray for them. That's how important they are. They are so important to the kingdom, they should be extremely important to you because you're part of this kingdom. Romans 13:7 says to be socially respectful. Render to all what is due them. What is due them through who? Through society. Be respectful of it. Taxes to whom taxes due. Custom to who custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. If you are before a judge who you don't particularly care for, who you don't particularly like, you still honor the fact that he's a judge, that he has a responsibility. Honor his responsibility. The next one is love the church. There's a little difference there. Honor all people. Love the church. This love for the church is something where you're giving something more. You're opening yourself up to harm because you love. A place where you can fail and it not be fatal should be a place where they can fail in front of you and not be fatal to their fellowship. In other words, if you love them, then that's what you'll do. That's why church really matters, because there's stuff, a whole bunch of stuff wrong with all of us, and it gets dealt with here just like it does in marriage, just like it does in families, the things you can't escape. If you want to come to church and reap the benefits of fellowship, then you're going to have to get in the game all the way. Play offense and defense. You're going to have to hit and be hit. You're going to have to pitch and catch. And that's a beautiful thing if you allow yourself to see it. People are going to do things in church, and they're going to say things that are going to embarrass them. And so are you. And this is the place where we look at each other and go, we know. I know. Don't, you know, I'm with you. You know, don't sweat it. We're all changing. It is your body given to you by God. Cherish it despite its problems. This is my commandment, that you love one another, is what Christ said. That your joy may be full. Love other people and your joy will be made full. If you're not living in joy, well, there's a reason. John 13:33-35. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. The new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. This tells us who he's talking to. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the disciples. This is a direct command to a specific group. If you have love for one another. He says, this is new. Well, what's new about it? Because there surely is, all the way back in the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbors, you love yourself. So what's new about this? Love one another, the church. This is talking about the church. This is Jesus telling us specifically, inside the church, it has to be this way. This is what's different. The other one was love the Lord God with all your heart, love your neighbors, you love yourself. And Jesus even addressed that. Well, who's my neighbor? Basically everybody. But what he's saying is inside this body, this is something new. I want a specific love, a true dedication to one another. So he's not saying the same thing again. He's saying it with a caveat. He's saying love the church specifically. Love the people that come here. And love will cost you something. And then he says, even as I have loved you, how much should we love each other in the church? How much did Christ love you? Wow. Obviously, we do not do this. I mean, if you were to look at the problems churches have, as your father said, Kyle, about a church splitting over the color of a floor, could this possibly be happening if that's what happened? I mean, if I value my own will more than I value your fellowship, then am I actually obeying the new commandment? No, I'm not. And then he says, because this is our witness. Not only does it allow us to grow up, but this is what the people who come here and visit, it's what they'll see. It's not, honest to goodness, folks. I mean, I could go up there and preach anything, but if we're not doing it in the congregation, then why should they be here? I mean, what's for, they could, you know, if there's something profound I have to say, which I'm not saying there is, they could hear that on the internet. Even if they do have AOL, they could just dial it right up. And so what I'm saying is that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So how can we judge how much we are a disciple of the Lord? How much do you love the people in the church? It's pretty direct. What is new? Love for one another. Love I had for you. Fear God and never allow yourself to forget who he is. Allow his attributes to motivate you to righteousness. God is not a casual friend. What I'm doing is referring back to verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, and now I'm on fear God. If there is something that is terribly wrong right now with our theology, it is fear God. We have not preached, taught, or understood or accepted what the term God means, who he really is. We have taken him as a casual being, as a friend that we could just... he is always God. You know, the one who the most righteous people who ever walked this planet trembled and feared before whenever he spoke to them. All powerful, all knowing. Proverbs 16:6 says, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. Because he loved me. Because of love, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. That's not reverential awe. That's fear. That's because he has the power of eternity in his hands. When my mom said to me, wait till your dad gets home, I did not lay there in the bed restlessly waiting for him to finish 3 to 11 or 4 to 12 because I had reverential awe for my father. I was scared, and as well I should have been. I'd done things I shouldn't have done, and reckoning was coming. That's what keeps you from evil. What I am not smart enough to do on and of my own, I will not do because I'm scared. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. I hate them because I fear God and I'm afraid and I don't want anything to do with those things. I don't want anything to do with those people because if they drag me into it, I'm in trouble. Job 28:28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. In other words is, you know, if you fear God, you're thinking correctly, and because of that, it will stop you from doing what's wrong. We've lost that, folks. We have just, I can't remember the name of, Bauckham. There's a pastor out there named Bauckham, his last name. And he says, what does he say? God is not a sissy. We have sissified God, and he ain't even close to that. And wow, just powerful stuff. And then it says, honor the king. Respect the rank, if not the person. But try really hard to respect the person for the responsibility that they have. We berate politicians simply for being politicians. I'm guilty of this. They're doing something I don't want to do. I don't run because I don't want to do it. And there's times I am disrespectful to people who probably don't deserve to be disrespected. Note, the king is honored, but not feared as God is. That's honor there, not fear. God is due fear. And it's, we get that backwards. We honor kings, and we do it backwards. And who we fear is the king, and we honor God without fearing him, which is impossible. Matthew 22:21, they said to him, Caesar's. Then they said to him, then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things to God that are God's. Give it to him. If that is due to him, if honor is due to him, give it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't let your pride get in the way. Honor God by doing. Fear God, honor them. If you fear God, you will honor them because he wants you to. Romans 13:1-3, don't be proud. Every person is subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And boy, we can talk about this for years. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not cause for of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good. You will have praise from the same. They make an assumption here that the authority talking about is correct. And most of the time that's true. And of course, in these point in times, you bring up the Hitler scenario. And I take you back to Peter and John. You know, we will do what God tells us to do. You know, in that case, you have a direct reason not to. You're not hiding it. You're willing to pay the price for it. And we'll wrap up there, and we'll pick up in the fall with servants, be submissive to your masters in all respects. And, none of this is fun, but it all works. Every bit of it works. This is not our natural inclination. I cannot speak for women, but I know it's not men's natural inclination. Our pride, our everything else belongs to God. Once you give your life to him, you give it all to him. And he will take it and use it and tell you what to do with it. And well, here he is telling us what to do with it. You go, I don't want to do that. You know, can I do something else? No. Fear me. You know, and do what I tell you. It'll work. It'll work. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for your word and its instruction to us. Help us to remember it. Help us to embrace it. Help us to live it. Help us to be a witness to this world. Help us to remind us and just remind us that they matter and what we do matters. Watch over my brothers and sisters. Make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate. Help them to glorify your name in what they think, what they do, and what they say. In Jesus' name, amen.